it out soon.
Okay, thank you, Celeste. I'll call you in the morning. Lacey ended the call and placed her phone on the breakfast bar. You want a drink?
Yeah, I could use a drink.
Aaron pressed lightly on his bandage. Kids okay?
She nodded.
Will thought, and I agree, that it would be safer for them to stay with Jay's parents for a while, especially since, well, she glanced at the bandage.
Since we were almost killed.
Yeah. Celeste is staying with them, too, because I think they'd be lost without her. She's been their de facto mother for the past few weeks. Lacey poured them both a vodka straight. I don't have anything else. Sorry. She pushed the glass toward him.
This is fine by me.
Aaron tossed back the drink. She poured them another. Let's go sit down in the living room. Lacey grabbed her glass and led the way through the foyer and into the family room. She peered through the front window.
They still out there?
Yeah. We'll say they'd stay till morning and then change shifts. She moved to the couch while Aaron sat on the chair. How are you feeling?
Those tablets are doing the job. I'll be all right.
I can't believe this, Lacey began. What the hell have I done?
What you had to do. None of us thought we were going to be digging up some sort of international conspiracy bullshit. You were looking for the truth, for Jay.
And I've put everyone else's life at risk because of it, including my own children's. She threw back her second vodka and studied Aaron's bandage. And look at you. I shouldn't have come to you. I'm so sorry.
Hey, I didn't have to do what I did. This isn't on you, Lacey. I guess I'm not as good as I thought I was.
No, whoever we're dealing with just has better resources. I didn't expect any of this to turn out like it has.
Of course not. But we're in it now, and there's no way out except to see it through.
He finished his second drink.
I mean, fuck it, right? It's not like I have better plans.
Lacey grinned. Thank you. Hours had passed, and both Lacey and Aaron were sound asleep on the couch. The skies were still dark when the pounding burst on the door. Lacey shot up from her curled position. Who the hell is that? She stood on shaky legs and forced them to move quickly to the door.
Who's here?
Aaron asked. She turned with her index finger to her lips and peered through the security lens on the door. Immediately, she unlocked it and pulled it open.
What is it? What's going on?
Will pushed through without waiting for an invitation.
We have to get you to someplace safe. Go pack a bag, now. I'll explain later.
He continued inside.
Aaron, go get your things. We need to leave. What happened? Axel's waiting for us, but we need to go.
He looked up the staircase.
Hurry up, Lacey. Can you at least tell us where we're going?
Aaron pleaded.
I will, but not here.
He looked around and shook his head. His meaning wasn't lost on Aaron.
Shit.
He whispered and walked toward the guest room to pack his bag. Moments later, Lacey returned. You're scaring me, Will. He raised a finger to his lips.
Let's just go.
I need my phone. Hang on. Lacey returned to the family room and picked up her phone when she spotted Aaron reappear with a bag over his shoulder. Will opened the door and ushered them outside into a waiting car.
Get in.
He continued around to the driver's side and keyed the ignition.
Where are we going? My kids. We're going someplace safe, a place Axel has set up. Why? You haven't told us what happened.
Aaron added. Will pulled out of the driveway and waved to the agents who were inside an unmarked car. They nodded in return and flicked on their headlights as if ready to drive away.
Axel got word from an operative in Beijing. MS has sent the man on the motorcycle, and now they know he didn't finish the job, so they're sending someone who can.
Chapter 18. Lacey stepped out of Will's car onto the pathway etched in dirt. She cast her gaze through the wooded surroundings shadowed by dark blue-gray skies. What is this place?
It's safe here, Will began. That's all you need to know right now.
His shoes left behind impressions in the soft clay soil as he walked toward the cabin. Lacey didn't appreciate being left in the dark and glanced to Aaron, who could only offer a shrug, claiming ignorance as to why they were here or where here was. The scent of musty, arboreous water was thick in the air, and when she peered over her shoulder, the moonlight's reflection shimmered atop a lake in the distance. Agent Axel appeared relaxed on the sofa and eyed the three as they entered the small cabin.
You made it.
The aged wood floor creaked beneath his feet as he shuffled to greet them.
Good. We can get started, then. Anyone want a drink?
He made his way into the kitchen and began to pour scotch into a glass he'd already held in his hands. Thanks, no, Lacey replied. What exactly are we starting on? Axel approached her while Will and Aaron inspected their accommodations.
Right now, you've got the Chinese Secret Service and the powers that be at a bank in Panama after you. I'm here to help you find a way out of this maelstrom that's coming for you and your friend.
We need answers. None of you people were looking for what really happened. None of you gave a shit about the fact that my friend died and was being accused of collusion and corporate spying, and maybe worse.
Just calm down, Aaron. Lacey placed her hand on his arm.
What you succeeded in doing was raising the eyebrows of people who don't want you to find the truth, including people in our own government.
And what truth is that? Lacey sounded firm in defense of their actions.
You still don't get it, do you?
Axel threw back his drink.
No one would have even considered your husband in any of this, except for the fact that you found that bank account. But I think that was just a cover for Owen Ballard. He was playing both sides, and it caught up to him.
Right, he's dead, Aaron continued. So what's that got to do with China and the State Department? This was all about uncovering what Ballard was doing with Tom Neville and Nova Investments, uncovering their little corporate spy game.
State's been looking for us to wrap up our investigation, Will began. Considering we had a group who already claimed responsibility, this was supposed to be a slam dunk. We had the man who made the device, found murdered in his television shop. Of course, he had ties to the group in Bahrain, case closed there. Then we had the group itself. Good, done deal, right?
Except we tried to recover what was on Jay's laptop in the flash drive. Lacey walked to the kitchen and decided a drink wasn't a bad idea after all. She reached for a glass and poured generously.
That's how I found out that Aaron was the one who had helped Jay discover what Ballard was up to. And I brought that, along with the account number, to the FBI's attention.
And that's what has led us here. But I still don't get how the Chinese are involved, Aaron replied. Based on the information I received from Kaysen and from my own assessment, I made a few calls, looked into a few people's backgrounds. But what really sealed the deal with me was the fact that MSS sent someone after you two. My contact made it clear as to why State wants this case closed and why exactly Li Jian is involved.
Lacey began to put two and two together and she didn't like what was coming.
It's them, the Chinese. They're responsible for the attack. Somehow Ballard was tied to it. He helped them, didn't he?
Will glanced at Axel and returned his attention to Lacey.
We think Nova Investments was the target because they're the largest retail developer in the U.S., and China has a great deal of interest in assuming that very position.
And to do that would mean taking out their competition, Aaron added.
Holy shit. China wanted to make it look like this was some sort of jihad bullshit, so Nova's parent company in Dubai would take a huge financial hit. And with their Middle Eastern ties, it would be an all too easy assumption to spin for the American people. With Nova out of the way, the China-based Dalian company would take over. Hell, they already own half the damn country anyway, Will replied.
Lacey, numb from all that had happened and what she was hearing now, sat down at the dinette table.
My God. Jay had that account, a Dalian subsidiary. That's why Argus was chosen. Find the weak link there and get him to offer up information. And someone in the State Department is helping that company in China by guaranteeing this ruse is perpetrated on the American people.
Someone's got a member of the state in their back pocket. I'm getting close to finding out who that might be. I've got people working on it now. But that's who we need to find, and that's why we're here, Axel said.
So my husband, along with hundreds of other innocent people, is dead. Fears about the Muslim terrorist groups are further embedded into our collective minds. And someone in the government's getting rich over it by helping the Chinese?
She looked around the room.
What do we need to do?
Agent Kaysen arrived at FBI headquarters unshowered and haggard.
Morning. Mendez eyed his junior partner with concern. Out drinking all night or what? You look like hell.
I wish.
Kaysen sat down at his desk.
What's the situation with Lacey Merrick?
Anything new and interesting?
I know Ballard and Neville were working together and Ballard was getting paid for it.
And what about Jay Merrick? Is he in the clear yet?
I'm still working on that.
On Axel's insistence, Will couldn't reveal what he knew about the rest of it. Said he didn't know who was feeding State the intel. He knew it wasn't Mendez, but abided by the request anyway.
We've identified the man who killed the bomb maker, Farhan Basara.
Mendez tossed a file with a picture clipped to the front of it. Imad Mufid. We got our hands on the surveillance video from the ATM machine next door to Basara's shop. Mufid's image was captured on it when he returned to his car. Take a look inside. We'll open the file. Mufad was found dead in the early hours of this morning. Mendez sat down at his desk. What I don't get is how this closed-circuit footage turned up when we've been scouring the area for the same thing. Now it's here, and Mufid turns up dead.
Wu couldn't say it out loud, but the single thought that screamed in his mind was that Lei Jian and whoever was working with him were covering their tracks. They knew Aaron got information and were desperate to shift the focus back to Basara.
Does this mean the current theory is holding water? You haven't given me anything that would convince me otherwise, so it means we're in the cleanup mode. The Army of Islam has claimed responsibility, and now they're tying up loose ends. CIA's working their assets for information in Bahrain, but as far as the task force is concerned, we're on to the next one, Mendez replied. Unless you've got something to persuade me. This is your chance. Give me something I can take upstairs.
Will suspected Mendez knew he was getting close to the vital answers.
I need more time. How long? 72 hours, maybe less. You've got 48. If you can't bring me something good, I'll have to sign off on this.
He grabbed his notebook.
I have a meeting to attend. Be in touch with you later.
Will reached for his mobile and answered the incoming call as Mendez left the office.
Axel, what's up? How are things going there? Same. Mendez said 48 hours. Okay. I've got a name and a pretty good indication this might be our guy. I need you to put a trace on his phone. How am I supposed to do that? I need a warrant. You aren't going to get one. Not on someone like him. You're going to have to figure something else out. Give me the name.
Will made his way to the operations center and tracked down Agent Porter.
Hey, you got a minute?
He turned from his computer.
Sure, what's up?
Will tossed his head and began to walk toward one of the offices. Agent Porter followed.
Close the door, Will said. How hard would it be to put a trace on a cell phone?
Not hard at all, you know that.
I don't have a warrant.
Agent Porter raised his hands.
Hey, man, you know the deal.
Yes, but this is someone who no judge in the country would sign a warrant for, not for nothing. And right now, I have next to nothing.
Shit, man, you're risking both our jobs and jail time just talking about this. You know that, right?
I'm getting help. I'm not out there on my own.
Who's helping?
I can't give you a name, but he's CIA, and his people are telling him that someone on the Hill is involved with unsavory people who may or may not be involved in the attack.
Involved how?
We have some ideas, but that's why we need to know who he's talking to.
You realize, even if we could do this, we can't use it in court and we'll both go down and so will your CIA contact.
If we're right, it won't matter. The public will be outraged. They won't care how we got what we got.
And you're sure about this person?
Will was only 30% sure and was concerned that Axel's contact could be blowing smoke up his ass, looking to gain something by bringing this person down.
About 75% sure. Come on, man. You can do this without ringing alarm bells. I know you can.
How long?
2 days max. That's all the time I've got.
Porter appeared resigned. Give me the name. With his back turned to the window, Drew Kendrick had one hand in his pocket and the other holding his cell phone to his ear, listening to the man on the other end bark orders at him.
Now you listen here.
Kendrick turned to face his desk again.
I told you I'd do what I could, and I have, but I can only do so much.
He dropped into his chair and loosened the knot on his tie.
It's my ass on the line here, not yours.
Shaking his head, he waited for another opportunity to speak.
Look, I've made the recommendation, and I've got agreement from all parties. You have to understand that this is a process. For Christ's sake, people died. They aren't going to just wash their hands of it.
Kendrick's patience was growing thin as a man continued to give him an earful.
I realize what you've done, and as I've said before, I am very appreciative and I believe I've shown you the same respect in kind.
He sat upright and placed his elbows on his desk.
That won't be necessary, I assure you. In 3 days, the president will hold a press conference and make the announcement. I understand your concerns over the situation that occurred in the past 24 hours, and it's under control.
A final nod, and he continued. Thank you. You'll hear from me as soon as I have more information. Goodbye.
He ended the call, and dismay shrouded his face. When he pressed the intercom button on his desk phone, a woman on the other end responded,
Yes, sir.
Set up a meeting with ASAC Brandt at his earliest convenience.
Of course, sir.
Without further comment, he released the button and straightened his tie again before walking out. His assistant sat behind her desk, adjacent to his office. Call me on my mobile when the meeting's been arranged. I have to leave, but I'll return soon.
Will do, sir. Thank you.
The assistant picked up a ringing line as Kendrick turned the corner office.
Office of Political Affairs, Undersecretary Kendrick's office. How may I help you?
How long are we going to be expected to stay here? Aaron paced the cabin. I don't like this.
I don't either, but it isn't safe out there for either of us, or for my children, Lacey replied.
What if they've already been to your house? Is anything there?
No, nothing about Jay or Tom Neville or any of it. I have the flash drive in my purse. And besides, no one knows where we are, so even if they found something, they wouldn't be able to track us down.
She pressed her lips together.
Sit down. Will and Agent Axel will be back soon, and they'll have more information.
You don't know that.
You're right. I don't. But what choice do I have? We go back out there, start digging into this more than we already have, and you and I won't survive the day. We need their help.
Jesus, Lacey. Don't you see what's happening? They're trying to bring down someone in our own government. How easy you think that's going to be? And the fucking Chinese? I mean, are you shitting me right now?
You're getting yourself worked up.
Aaron walked toward the couch and sat down next to her.
You're right. I just feel like this whole deal's fucked, you know?
I know, but you heard what Agent Axel said. He has a name, and that's what they're working on now. Once we prove what this person's done, we'll be in the clear and this will be over.
You might be oversimplifying this a little.
The sound of a car approaching stopped them both dead in their tracks. Aaron stood up and walked toward the window. Pulling back the curtain a fraction of an inch, he peeked outside.
Who's here?
Lacey felt adrenaline shoot right up her spine.
Looks like... Yeah, it's Agent Kaysen, and he brought food.
Aaron turned around with a smile.
Well, what a relief.
Moments later, a key sounded in the door lock, and a voice traveled through.
It's me, Will. He opened the door. I figured you guys were hungry.
Starved?
Aaron grabbed the food from him and set it on the dining table.
Excellent. Chinese. Good choice.
Lacey shot Will a glance.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
He locked the door behind him and continued inside.
How are you two holding up in here? Going stir-crazy yet?
Just about, Lacey began. Please tell me you have good news.
I'm working on it. Axel will be here soon and we'll get started. We've got a name and I've got a surveillance in place.
Surveillance?
Aaron asked as he shoved a fork full of noodles into his mouth.
What kind and on who?
Axel's got it set up on his end, and in about an hour or so I'll have it set up on my end. We'll go from there.
You got a warrant. On who?
Lacey made her way toward the food and began dishing out a plate.
This is off the radar for now.
She noticed he was hesitant to reveal a name, which made her feel less confident about it than she did when she walked in.
Will, you can't. It's too dangerous. For you and for Agent Axel. You know what'll happen if someone finds out you listened in without authorization.
We understand the risks.
Aaron cast his eyes between the two of them.
Let me guess. This isn't exactly FBI protocol.
Not exactly, Will replied.
Then for sure, I'm in. Hey, I almost had my head blown off the other day. We need to do what we gotta do to get to the truth. None of us are getting out of here alive if we pretend this isn't happening.
Lacey glossed over Aaron's comment and turned her attention to Will.
You said you have a name. Who is it?
According to Axel's people, there's been a lot of communication between the MSS and the State Department.
That's the State Department's job, isn't it? Foreign relations?
Lacey asked.
It is. But according to Axel, this is different. He doesn't have anything from the state's office, but he does have communications coming out of the MSS that he's obtained. And it looks like they've been working pretty heavily with the Office of Political Affairs.
He must have more than that to want to move forward with this unauthorized, unsanctioned surveillance.
His asset says money's been removed from the MSS till and deposited into a private account.
Let me guess.
Aaron weighed in once again, this time chewing on an egg roll.
You know who this account belongs to.
We think so, yes.
So when do we start listening in?
Just waiting on Axel now.
Chapter 19.
We have resources, Mr. Marquez, Axel began. Resources that could make it difficult for you to maintain your daily operations, enjoying the relatively hands-off approach the U.S. has employed so far. Axel watched the cars negotiate the lanes of DuPont Circle while he waited for a response from the president of the bank in Panama. Midday had arrived and the sun was beating down on him. Sweat stains formed under his arms and on the middle of his back through his white Oxford shirt.
And if we cooperate, then you will continue to enjoy the same relationship with the U.S. you already have.
Axel leaned forward on the bench, placing his elbows on his knees.
I just need your help monitoring Jen's account activity. I need to know who's giving him money and who he's sending it to.
If I can be assured by your government that whatever he and his associates were doing was beyond our control,
of course,
then you will have our cooperation.
Thank you, sir. I'll be in touch.
Axel ended the call and dropped his phone into his shirt pocket. He removed his sunglasses and wiped the sweat that had gathered on the bridge of his nose and under his eyes. Everything was in place on his end, and he hoped Kaysen had gotten through to his people. Lacey stood perched on the steps of the front deck and peered through the trees to the lake. She held in her hands a burner phone that Will said she could use to call her children. Almost 24 hours had passed since she last spoke to them, and it was killing her to be away from them right now. She hoped that one day they would understand why she had to do this, but for now, all she could do was beg for their forgiveness.
Hey, sweetheart, how are you?
Okay,
Olivia replied. When are you coming back, Mom? When can we go back home?
Not much longer now, baby, I promise. You're having fun with Grandma and Grandpa, though, right?
I guess.
Lacey closed her eyes at the sound of her daughter's voice, which was filled with confusion and sorrow.
I'll tell you what. When I get back, the three of us will take a little vacation, okay? Maybe go to the beach. Or wait, how about Disney World? Now that would be something, wouldn't it?
Sure.
A shimmering light reflected in the distance and Lacey spotted a car approaching. As it made its way along the path, dust billowed from the tires.
Listen, sweetheart, I have to go now, okay? I'll call you as soon as I can, and please tell your brother I love him and miss him very much. I miss you both very much.
She waited for a response.
Olivia?
Yeah, okay. Bye.
The call was gone. Drained from the heartbreak of missing her children and her husband, Lacey cast her weary eyes at Agent Axel as he stepped out of the car and began his approach.
Everything okay?
Just peachy, she replied.
Good. Come inside.
Lacey followed him through the door and stood next to Aaron.
How are the kids?
He asked.
I doubt Olivia will ever forgive me for this.
She will when she's old enough to realize you risked your life to clear her father's name and helped hundreds of families get to the truth.
You make it sound so damn noble.
Isn't it? You two want to join in, or are you just going to sit this one out?
Axel motioned them to the dining table. The two approached and Lacey began.
Let's just get this over with.
Will eyed her.
You all right?
No. I need to be with my kids. I need to keep them safe.
I'm sorry, Lacey. I know how much you miss them. Will added, but we have the cooperation we need now, and I promise you, it's only a matter of time. You and your family will be able to go back home, and you'll be safe again.
And once you know, for a fact, who at State is responsible, what then? Who can we turn to, Will? Who can we trust? And more importantly, who's going to come for us after that?
But before anyone could indulge Lacey in her current state of despair, Axel got straight to the point.
We're going to link to a satellite using a portable modem.
How'd you get that? That's expensive equipment, Aaron said.
Yes, it is.
Axel returned his attention to the laptop.
This will allow us to monitor communications that were set up by our friends at the FBI.
He looked to Will.
Thanks for that, while staying at our safe, undisclosed location.
So you're essentially linking up to the FBI servers using a satellite connection.
Yes, Aaron, that's exactly what we're doing,
Axel replied.
Cool.
And we'll be able to listen to communications from the State Department, Lacey asked.
From a particular person at the State Department, yes. That's where we'll find our traitor.
I guess we just sit back and wait,
Lacey pulled out a chair and sat down. Be patient. It'll happen. This is how we get confirmation. From there, we move up the chain and hope to hell someone will listen to us.
Time was crawling at a snail's pace, and the sun was beginning to fall below the tree line. All they'd been listening to for the past 3 hours were various conversations the undersecretary was having regarding meetings, dinner plans, and a personal call to his wife.
Christ, when are we going to get the dirt on this guy?
Aaron's sentiments mirrored that of the others.
It'll take however long it'll take.
Axel seemed indignant, as though no one in the room seemed to understand how many hoops he had to jump through to get them this far.
One of my guys has an ear on Jin, too. One of them will fold. Not to mention, I've worked out a pretty sweet deal with the bank in Panama to keep us up to speed about his activity.
The lines on the audio receiver began to bounce up and down.
Shh. He's making a call.
A ringing line sounded through the laptop, though it was glitchy with static in the background.
Where's the package? The undersecretary asked. I haven't received it yet.
What's he talking about, a package? Aaron whispered. Kaysen raised his hand to insist on silence.
I've been dealing with a few nuisances, and I haven't had a chance to have it delivered.
That's him. That's Jin, isn't it? Again, Aaron sounded off. This time Axel wagged an index finger at him. As Lacey watched Axel silently reprimand Aaron, a light coming in from the window caught her eye. She slowly stood up and walked toward it. The light was growing. She cast her gaze to Will, who seemed to pick up on her concern. He made his way toward her.
Who is that? She asked.
A car was rolling up the drive slowly.
Turn out the lights, Will said.
This got the other's attention, and Axel's expression revealed surprise and concern. He flipped off the switch.
Shit. Who the hell is that?
Will shook his head as he unsnapped the holster of his gun. Lacey noted the gesture and swallowed down her growing fear. Axel threw a troubled glance at Lacey and Aaron.
Get in the bedroom and hide, both of you, now.
He turned back to Will.
Jin's people. What do we do?
Will was trained in counterterrorism, and in his 2 years as an agent, had yet to confront a hostile. Not since Afghanistan had he been in this kind of situation.
We need to see how many step out, and if they're friendly.
You think they're with us?
Nope.
Moments later, the car rolled to a stop and the headlights were turned off. No one had yet to emerge, and this made them all the more nervous. Axel drew his weapon and nodded for Will to do the same. The driver's side door opened, and a man in a black t-shirt and dark pants stepped out. He blended in with the darkening sky.
Who do you think he works for? Will asked.
The man pushed his hair back and stood next to the opened door. Three other men stepped out almost simultaneously.
Four against two. I can handle those odds.
Will noticed one of the men walking toward the trunk of the car. His breath echoed in his ears as he anticipated their every move. The trunk's lid popped open, and the man retrieved a duffel bag. He unzipped it and handed automatic rifles to his colleagues.
How you like our odds now?
Axel glanced over his shoulder toward the bedroom.
We gotta get them the hell out of here. Go back there with them. I'll keep these guys occupied while you take them around back and get into the car. I'm not leaving you here. We're the only ones who know what's going on, and we have to do everything in our power to make the truth known. We can't do that if we're dead. Now get the fuck back there.
Will stood frozen. Axel's orders went against everything he knew.
Do it.
Finally, he broke and turned on his heel toward the bedroom, and no sooner had he reached the hall did he hear gunfire erupt. Instinctively, he crouched low and continued to the bedroom.
Let's get the hell out of here.
What about Agent Axel?
Lacey asked.
Just follow my lead and I'll get you both out alive.
Will eyed them with resolve.
I got this.
Bullets pierced the front windows, exploding the glass on impact, and the barrage of gunfire compelled the wooden walls to splinter, hurling the pointed fragments like arrows into the room.
Jesus!
Witnessing the attack, Lacey rose just as they were about to step into the corridor.
Get down!
Will pulled her arm, nearly making her tumble.
We have to go now.
She watched as Axel took cover behind the sofa and fired at every opportunity. The two locked eyes and he nodded. This was going to be their only chance to get out. Will was just steps ahead of her now, and she followed closely along with Aaron.
Get to the deck outside.
Will struggled to speak over the blast sounding from behind them, and flinched with each shot.
God damn it.
He peered over his shoulder at Axel.
Just go. He wants us to go.
Lacey grabbed his shoulder. The three made their way to the deck, and Will directed them down the steps to ground level. The only light came from flashes of gunfire and a quarter moon that hadn't fully risen in the sky yet. He couldn't risk exposing their position by taking them around the front where Axel's car was parked next to his. He was the only one who was armed, and they'd be taken out without hesitation.
We need to take cover until they get inside. Back there.
He pointed to the wooded area.
We'll find cover there. Go, go!
He pushed them to the front and remained facing the side of the cabin, gun ready to fire. A quick turn of his head, and they had already made it beyond the tree line. He would have to catch up to them, which meant abandoning Axel. The front door flew open, breaking the lock as though it was a twig. Kaysen could hear the men shouting as they stormed inside. Fuck, fuck, he whispered. Axel couldn't hold them off, and there was nothing Kaysen could do. He turned back to see silhouettes of Lacey and Aaron in the distance, shadowed by trees amid the darkness. This was an impossible undertaking. Getting them out while those men were inside was a fool's errand, and he might as well drag them out in front of a firing squad right now. They would have to make their way into Axel's car unseen, and then start it up and drive away. Did he think those men wouldn't come running out, guns blazing, bringing down a hellfire on top of them before they made it 10 feet? No. There had to be another way. He needed to go back inside. Another glance over his shoulder and the two were still there, safe for now. At least they were out of the line of fire. But he was armed and he could still help Axel. The decision was made. Will darted back inside through the rear door. Lacey raised up from her squatted position. Will! Her voice was barely above a whisper but screeched from her throat. Lacey, get down! Aaron pulled her back. He's going to help Axel. You can't stop him. Oh, God! What the hell are we going to do? He won't leave us. He'll come back. They'll both come back, Aaron replied. We can't just sit here. We have to run. We have to try to get away. I have no idea where we're at, Lacey. Doesn't matter. Just so long as we get as far away from here as possible. This is the second time in 2 days someone's come after us. This won't stop until the truth comes out, or we're dead. Aaron seemed to consider her proposal. He looked left, then right. Shit. I don't know. This way. He started north, staying behind the tree line and out of sight as much as possible. Guns still fired behind them, but there was no time to look back. Inside, Will took cover behind the bedroom door where he'd slipped out only minutes earlier. Axel was still alive, taking shelter behind the kitchen island, but two of the men were inside. He needed to take them out first, then they could worry about the other two who still stood on the porch, one firing through the window and the other taking aim from behind the front door. If he was going to act, then the time was now. With his gun aimed straight ahead, he pressed flat against the hallway and slid along until he had a visual of one of the men. In a split second, he fired and struck the man in the neck. All eyes turned on him, and he had but one chance to take down another one, who crouched in front of the sofa.
What the hell are you doing? Axel shouted while keeping cover.
Will didn't answer, only waited for the man behind the couch to raise up just enough to try and fire on him. And he did. Will hoped his aim was better this time and fired again. The man went down with a shot to his head. They had options now. The two men remaining held their positions, looking as though they'd realized the odds were no longer in their favor. Will dropped to the ground and crawled toward Axel.
Are you hurt? Jesus H. Christ, what the fuck are you doing here? Trying to save your life. It's 2-on-2 now. We have to make a move. Where are the others? They're safe. Took shelter just beyond the trees.
The other men began speaking to each other.
What the hell are they saying? Will asked. I don't speak Chinese.
The conversation lasted only seconds, and the two men dashed toward the car. Will jumped up.
Shit. They're leaving.
He sprinted through the cabin and out the front door and began firing on the car. Seconds later, Axel joined him and began shooting at the car's tires. Will hit the grill, and a loud hissing came from the engine. The car rolled to a stop when steam wafted into the air, and the men jumped out, taking cover behind the doors.
Shit, here we go again.
Will ran behind a wood column on the porch. Axel must have thought it had been a good idea because he did the same.
I'm taking them down.
He took aim again and struck one of them in the arm, forcing his weapon from him. This time, the other man turned and sprinted down the driveway.
I'm on him.
Will charged after him and the man turned and fired, striking him in the leg. Will fell to the ground. Axel sprinted after the lone gunman, but he disappeared into the woods.
You okay?
He shouted to Will as he reached him. Go, just go and find him. Will dragged himself along the car, using it for cover. He couldn't see the injured man around the other side and had no idea if he was still armed. Will grabbed the passenger side door handle and pulled up until he raised high enough to take aim. There would be no arrests made. This was kill or be killed. Once he regained his balance, he moved around to the back of the car, toward the trunk. He watched as the injured man reached for his weapon as he stretched his body as far as he could.
Hey.
When he made eye contact, Will pulled the trigger, and the man collapsed. He looked behind him, wanting to help Axel, but on assessing the damage to his leg, knew there would be no running. A gunshot sounded in the distance, and all Will could do was wait. Wait for Axel to return. Wait for Lacey and Aaron to come out of hiding. The problem was, he had no idea who fired the shot and who was still left standing. Chapter 20. Trees rushed by as Lacey sprinted through the wooded landscape. The branches scraped her arms and stones lanced underfoot as she and Aaron approached a clearing in the distance. Lacey began to slow her pace. Did you hear that? Gasping for breath, she tried to calm herself to listen again.
Yeah, that's all I've been hearing for the past 10 minutes.
Aaron began. Keep going. No, wait. That one was closer than the others.
You're not helping your argument here. We need to keep moving. We have no idea who fired that shot.
Aaron slowed to a stop when he realized she was no longer running.
Lacey, please, there's no time to second-guess ourselves.
She turned to him and looked again in the direction of the noise. Yeah, okay. You're right. They started again on their journey to find help, or a place to take shelter until they could reach Agent Kaysen again. The clearing was in sight now.
There has to be something up here, Lacey said.
It's a road. She looked again. Is that a person up ahead?
I think so. Oh, shit, it's them.
I don't think so. Come on. Lacey pushed through the branches that obscured the path to the road.
Just hang back, would you? We're walking right out into the open here.
That's all there is. Open. She continued toward the road and began to jog closer, and when she reached the shoulder, the sound of a struggle forced her to stop. Two people were on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Axel, who was straddling a man, peered over his shoulder at them.
The hell?
She noticed his bloodied hand and cast her eyes to the recipient of his blows. I think you can stop now. I think he's dead. She moved forward. Are you okay? We heard a gunshot. I didn't know. You've been hit.
No, I haven't. I'm fine. Kaysen is injured. We need to go back.
Lacey rose to see Aaron behind her. Let's get back to the cabin. She waited for him to move to the other side of Axel, and the two carefully hoisted him from on top of the dead man.
Jesus, who the hell are these people?
Aaron asked.
People we don't want to screw around with,
Axel replied, regaining his balance. It's a little too late for that, Lacey added. The cabin came into view several minutes later after trudging through the increasing isolation of the night. Its singular source of illumination, a beaming porch light, burned in the distance. I don't hear anything. Lacey looked to Agent Axel. What should we do? Axel reached for his weapon.
Pray the good guy is still alive.
They slowed their approach and Aaron stepped away, flanking the far end of the driveway. Lacey and Axel began moving toward the other side.
Agent Kaysen?
Aaron spotted him on the ground, leaning against the driver's side of the car. Are you okay?
Agent Kaysen.
Aaron rose above the car's roof. He's over here. Lacey and Axel hastened their approach and, on their arrival, noted Kaysen on the ground. She moved in.
Will, are you all right?
I'm okay.
He mumbled softly as Lacey took his arm.
No, you're not. We're taking you to the hospital.
Axel?
I'm here. I'm okay.
Will nodded.
Good. Okay. Good.
Come on. I got you.
Lacey helped him to his feet.
It's just a graze.
Will began.
I'll be okay. Let's just get out of here.
Where are the keys?
Lacey peered into the driver's side. Axel reached into his pants pocket.
Here.
Aaron stepped over another dead man and took the keys from Agent Axel, surveying the carnage. Two dead, presumably Chinese assassins, and a house torn to shreds by bullets. Here. He tossed them to Lacey and slipped into the passenger seat. Lacey started up the engine and backed out. A thump startled them all until they realized it was a body and continued anyway. What are we going to say happened to you? She glanced into the rear view.
I've got some friends at Walter Reed.
Axel returned her gaze.
We'll take him there.
And what about you? How long will it take to get there?
An hour, maybe less. I'll be fine. I'll tell you where to go.
Lacey pulled alongside the emergency entrance of a medical center and walked inside. I need help out here. The nurse behind the desk jumped into action and called for assistance. They rushed outside where Aaron had already begun to help Will out of the car.
He's injured, Aaron replied.
An attendant appeared through the doors.
Get him inside.
His attention turned to Lacey. What happened here? But before she could answer, Agent Axel chimed in.
I need to see Dr. Allen.
I'm sorry, but who are you?
That's classified. Dr. Allen now, please.
The doctor turned on his heel and went back inside. And that's how it works? Lacey asked.
It's all I've got. I was hoping he wouldn't ask anything else.
He turned to Will, who was already in a wheelchair.
You'll be all right, buddy.
Will gave a thumbs up as they rolled him inside. I'll take it from here, ma'am. A nurse began to push Will toward the entrance. You should get checked out too, sir. She eyed Axel's hand and blood-spattered shirt before continuing inside. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Lacey began. Will's been hurt. You could have been killed. We could have all died tonight.
I know this is upsetting.
Agent Axel led her through the sliding doors.
Let's just get inside and you can call your kids, okay?
Yeah, I need to do that. She feared for their safety now more than ever. People are trying to kill us. How the hell do we get out of this?
I need you to stay calm, okay? Go talk to your kids. You'll feel better. And then we'll see how Kaysen's doing. Aaron and I will go get coffees after I get myself cleaned up.
Lacey nodded and headed outside to make the call to the kids. It had only been a few hours since she'd spoken to them, but she needed to hear their voices right now. She stood outside and waited for the line to answer. Hello, it's Lacey. Alice? Yes, honey. How are you? I'm okay. I'm sorry it's late. Where's Celeste? I was hoping to talk to the kids. She's resting, and the children are playing with Frank's train collection. We're all fine here. She sighed a breath of relief. Can I talk to the kids? Hold on a minute. Lacey heard footsteps in the background and then Alice's mumbled voice. A moment later, she returned to the line. I'm sorry, but they're busy playing right now. Can they talk to you later? Later, Lacey thought. There might not be a later. I'd like to speak to them now, Alice. I don't know when I'll get another chance to call. Sweetheart, they aren't up for talking right now. What? What do you mean? They're just upset. That's all. I'm sure if you try again later, maybe tomorrow would be best. I can't try again later. I need to hear their voices, please. I can't force them, honey. And there it was. They didn't want to talk to her because she'd abandoned them. I don't blame them. I haven't been much of a mother these past few weeks. And with Jay gone... Never mind. I'll try them tomorrow. Please tell them I love them, won't you? Of course. Goodbye, Alice. Lacey ended the call and turned to face the entrance again. She noticed the agents inside talking with Aaron and began her approach. Looks like they got you all patched up.
Just a graze, Will replied. I'll be fine, just like I told you. We were just working out a new plan of action.
Axel nodded.
I don't know how they found the cabin, but they did. And that means we have to keep you two out of sight and completely off the grid.
What do you mean, us two? Lacey began. Look, I'm not going anywhere. I started this thing, and I intend to finish it. We've got surveillance in place. We just need to access it without it being traced back to us. And Will, who's your guy on the inside? Can you reach out to him, or should I? Axel shook his head and looked at Will.
You have to deal with this?
Will grinned and shrugged his shoulders.
Fine, Axel continued. But if they found us at the cabin, I wouldn't put it past them to have the ability to locate your children and the rest of your family. That means we need to get them someplace where no one can find them.
Lacey nodded in a perfunctory manner, but it was the first time she truly felt like the kids were in danger, like she had lost her ability to protect them, and for a mother to feel that meant she felt like no mother at all.
We'll get them away from Jay's parents, away from anyone who knows me or Jay, but that has to happen before anything else. I have to know they're safe.
In the early hours of the morning before the sun had fully awakened, Agent Axel stood outside the home of Jay's parents. He remained eagle-eyed, with his uninjured hand palming his holster, while Will accompanied Lacey to the front door. Aaron waited at the new, more secure location, because it was too risky exposing both of them, and Lacey insisted on being the one to get the kids out. Axel turned his attention to the front of the home where she and the children emerged. The grandparents followed them outside.
"We'll be safe, Alice, I promise you. I'm so sorry to put you through all this. Would you mind checking if Celeste is ready?"
"Sure." Alice walked back inside.
"Frank, please know I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think it was important."
"I know that, sweetheart. Doesn't make me any less worried. Now, I know you can't say much, but when you can, you will call us."
"Of course I will."
Lacey looked over her shoulder to see Celeste approach with a suitcase in hand. "You ready?" She nodded.
"Okay. I'll keep you updated as much as I can, but we're in good hands."
Lacey hugged and kissed them both.
"Come on, kiddos. We need to get going."
"Bye, Grandma. Bye, Grandpa,"
Jackson said. Olivia raised her hand and wiggled a goodbye with her fingers before turning and walking down the porch steps. Axel opened the back door and the kids and Celeste slid in. He stepped into the driver's seat and keyed the ignition, waiting for Will to get inside. Lacey closed her door and waved a final time before Axel reversed out of the driveway.
"Where are you going, Mom?"
Olivia asked.
"A little spot where you can play video games and watch TV, and I won't give you any grief about it. How does that sound?"
"Are you in trouble, Mommy?"
Jackson chimed in.
"Of course not, sweetheart."
Lacey caught Will's glance, but dismissed it.
"Then how come you're not going to be staying with us?"
"Oh, I will be. Just not for a little bit. A day or two, that's all."
She hated lying to them. They deserved better than that. But what else could she say? Celeste knew the truth, at least part of it. She insisted on knowing before going anywhere, and Lacey couldn't blame her. She'd put everyone's life at risk, and she was the only one who could fix it. Axel waited alone at a corner table of the cafe, sipping on his black coffee. He was overheated in his suit jacket, but didn't want to draw attention to the bandage on his hand, and continued to swelter. The man he waited for crossed in front of the window as he made his way inside. Agent Porter spotted Axel and joined him at the table.
"Morning."
"Morning,"
Axel replied. Porter slid a manila envelope across the table.
"I think this is what you're looking for."
Axel studied him and then reached for the envelope.
"You were able to record the conversation."
"I was. After we lost your connection, I kept on it, figuring something had happened on your end."
"You were right." Axel pushed his hand through the sleeve of his jacket. "Something did happen."
Porter glanced at the wound. "How's Kaysen doing?"
"Fine. He's with the others now. Safeguarding them is our priority right now, and we haven't done a very good job of it.
You know, this is going to hit the fan, and when it does, they'll all scatter with the wind."
"I know."
Axel sipped on his coffee. "What are you going to do about Kendrick?"
"He must know we're getting close. I'm sure his MSS contacts have kept him informed on their attempts to stop us. You don't think he's caught on to the surveillance?"
"No, not possible. He's got a lot of powerful friends. That's a fact," Porter continued. "Not the least of which is the Ministry. And with you two continuing down this road, you're going to need yourself a whole lot of backup."
"Yeah, well, I've got friends too."
Chapter 21 White lights twinkled on the horizon, and a warm breeze brushed through Lacey's hair. The exquisite cityscape almost made her forget why she was here, standing on Agent Axel's balcony awaiting his return. The children were safe, although holding them in her arms would be the only true confirmation, and that wasn't possible right now. She'd come too far now, and all that was left to do was to put her trust into a man she hardly knew, and another whose benevolence had already nearly cost him his life. and Aaron. She had his shoulder, but had begun to feel the weight of that burden was taking its toll.
"You look like you're in deep thought."
Aaron stepped through the parted glass doors and moved next to her, resting his arms against the stainless steel railing.
"Want to talk?"
"No, not really. I just want this to be over. I want my life back, but I know it will never be the same. Jay's gone, and I'll never know normal again. And all this?" With wounded eyes, she held his gaze. "I have no idea what will happen to any of us after this."
"Nice night," Axel joined them. "Why don't you two come back inside?"
They both turned back at the disruption, and Lacey began. "Sure. Don't want everyone to see the giant target on my head, do we?"
This wasn't a time for sarcasm,
nor was it in her nature, and guilt reigned supreme the moment the words slipped from her tongue. "I'm sorry."
"Don't be." Axel stopped her in her tracks. "I wouldn't expect anyone forced into a situation like this to behave any differently. You're angry, and you know what? So am I."
He guided her back inside. Will rested on the sofa with his leg propped and a new bandage applied over the gash caused by a bullet's graze. He noted their return with a nod of determination. Axel dropped an envelope onto the coffee table.
"We have a recorded conversation between Undersecretary Kendrick and Lei Jin regarding the first attempt on the both of you 2 days ago. Kendrick's getting nervous, but there was no mention of what happened at the cabin. So, he may not know yet, or Jin didn't want to reveal what he already knew."
"What happens now?" Aaron asked.
"I've set up a meeting at the Undersecretary's office first thing in the morning. I thought it best if I met with him because he knows that Kaysen is on the task force."
"You can't just waltz." Lacey was stopped cold.
"I can because I've been working with the State Department on this since the beginning. Kendrick knows me and knows I've been working in concert with the FBI. He thinks this is simply a meeting to update him on the status of the investigation."
"And what are we supposed to do? Sit on our thumbs and wait?" Lacey replied.
"You'll all need to sit tight until after the meeting. I need to try and find out what he knows and if he's the one pushing the agenda to release a story about the attack. It'll give me an opportunity to find out who else in his department might be involved or if he's acting alone. And I'll be wired. It's our best shot at getting the full evidence we need in the time frame we have." "And if he doesn't talk?" Will asked. "When I'm through with him, he'll understand his risk of exposure. This is a politician whose only desire is to stay in power, and that will work to our advantage."
"It's too risky, Agent Axel," Lacey began. "He sent China's Secret Service after us. He'll do anything to protect his interests."
"He didn't send them. Lei Jin did. But what he may not realize is that there are people in the ministry who aren't involved with this, who don't want to see relations with the U.S. strained. People who I'm in contact with are aware of what's happening, and they want it to stop as much as we do. They're working with us, me, because there's too much money for them here. They're too invested."
"And those are the people who will, what, convince Kendrick to give himself up, along with Jen and probably Tom Neville?"
"We're going to take this one step at a time. Approach Kendrick, get a feel for the situation. I'll get a read on him and figure out if he's a threat, or if Jen is the one pulling the strings. I'm on my way. Be ready,"
Axel announced as he drove alone to Kendrick's office. His wire was a device the size of a cufflink and was attached to his shirt, recording audio and transmitting it to a colleague who could stream it live on his laptop. The colleague was an old friend of Axel who worked with him many times before, but who hadn't wanted to be known to the others. It was just how he preferred to operate. And since this was a member of the administration, the less anyone knew who was involved, the better for all.
"Trevor Axel, I have a meeting with Undersecretary Kendrick."
Axel wasn't a case officer and didn't operate under a false identity. However, it was off-putting to most people when he introduced himself as CIA, so he opted to leave that part out. He waited for the assistant to make the announcement of his arrival. Moments later, she turned to him. "Mr. Kendrick is ready to see you." She gestured in the direction of his office door. Axel walked inside and stepped toward Kendrick with his hand extended.
"Undersecretary Kendrick, pleasure to see you again."
He held his position for a moment and realized Kendrick wasn't going to shake his hand. And when he noticed a man out of the corner of his eye, an icy expression masked his face.
"I'm sorry, sir. I didn't realize you weren't alone. I can come back at a more suitable time.
No need for apologies. My friend would like to show you out, if that's okay. I have a very full schedule, and I'm afraid I'll need to call this meeting short.
Someone had gotten to Kendrick, and now Axel had to figure a way to get the evidence he needed. There wasn't going to be another chance.
Before I go, I'd just like to mention that the FBI is pushing back on making the announcement. They are hell-bent on following the lead regarding Nova Investments.
I'm not sure I follow.
Kendrick nodded to his man to hold off. I mentioned to you the other day that they had found information suggesting an employee of Argus Solutions had been taking money from Nova Investments in exchange for information on its competition.
Axel noted Kendrick's expression, as though he must have just realized Jen's men still hadn't taken care of the problem. Perhaps this would get him out of the situation, or get him to hold off long enough so his colleague could get there.
It no longer matters what the FBI believes. The administration will move forward with a statement in the coming days. I'm sorry you've wasted your time.
The unexpected associate opened his jacket to reveal a gun.
You heard Mr. Kendrick. He's a very busy man. I'll show you out.
Axel nodded politely as they passed by the assistant.
Thank you, miss. You have a good day.
He took the lead with the man only steps behind him until they made their way outside of the building.
Where are you going to do this? Not exactly quiet around here.
Just keep walking. The man brushed against his side, ensuring the weapon was pressed against him.
Hey, I was just asking.
Axel put his left hand in his pocket.
Show me your hands.
He pulled it out quickly.
Sorry about that. Just have it.
The two continued until they reached a car waiting on the curb.
Get in.
He was urged to slide.